We're so blessed, aren't we? Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Begin reading in verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and continue and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I want to preach tonight on exhorted to prayer. Exhorted to prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to come to you. We come to thee tonight, Lord, asking you to add your blessing upon the reading of your word and now the preaching of your word. Speak to our hearts, please, Lord, our lives. May it be changed through the Scriptures and through the Spirit of God. Help me, Lord, to say what needs to be said, and hinder me, Lord, from saying things that need not be said. And hide me behind the cross. I pray that Christ would be lifted up. And I pray that your word would be given in such a way that it'll change our lives. It will thank you and it will praise you for what is accomplished. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As we continue in this letter from Paul to Timothy, this first epistle to Timothy, we remember that this is about how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. How that it is the church of the living God. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. And there's no doubt, with that being the case and understanding these things, God's people are to be a praying people. And the Bible is teaching us some things here specifically about this. Paul is instructing Timothy on the importance of prayer. Notice what he says. He says, first of all. In other words, this takes a place in your life. First of all, he says. In today's world, even in the church, there's so little emphasis on prayer. But God's people need to be a praying people. Men ought always to pray. The Bible helps us to understand these things. An old preacher used to say that every failure is a prayer failure. And that's a great statement. Because when we fail in our lives, it's because we most of the time we just didn't consult God. If every failure is a prayer failure, then we ought to be a praying people so that we'll keep failure away. And if we or any local church are going to be the kind of church that the Lord desires us to be, we have to be a praying church and a praying people. Need I remind you tonight that the Bible helps us to understand that prayer moves mountains. Prayer provides sunshine in the valleys, and prayer brings peace in the midst of the storm, and prayer shines light in darkness, and prayer distinguishes the believer from the unbeliever. Prayer does great things. May the Lord help us to return to the altar of prayer. And I want us to look at these verses tonight and see what Paul says about prayer. First of all, I want you to see the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Prayer. Paul says, you've got something. You've got a privilege. And it's called prayer. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to enter into the presence of Almighty Holy God. The God that created the heaven and the earth says that we can come into His presence. We can speak to Him. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So we understand that this privilege has been given to us through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died not only to save us, but he shed his blood so that we could talk to God and be able to live our lives, commune with him through the avenue of prayer. I think there's a great tragedy in not being a praying people, especially since we realize that Christ died to make it possible. There's a great tragedy. There's a privilege that God has extended to every one of us that know him as our personal Savior. And then he gives us this list about prayers. Look at this. He says, first of all, supplications. Now, that's talking about petitions. It's asking for one's own need. Notice back in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 7, verse number 9, the Lord Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "What man is there of you if whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, "I exhort that first of all, supplications be made." It's all right to ask for your needs. The Bible says, "But my God," remember what Paul, when he was writing to the church at Philippi, he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches." But James says, "We have not because we ask not." And sometimes we don't receive because we ask amiss. You understand that Paul is saying you have a privilege of prayer, supplications. God already knows what we need, but God wants us to come to him. And God wants us to commune with him. God wants to have that divine fellowship. And he's given us the privilege of prayer. It says supplications. And then it says prayers. This is talking about the worship and adoration offered to God. This is where we trust God. We worship and adore him in spite of the outcome or because we know that he makes no mistakes. In spite of what's going on, we make our prayers to God. Because of what's going on, we make our prayers to God. Because we know that God is in control. And he's on his throne. He makes no mistakes. And then it talks about intercessions. And this is when we come into the presence of God on behalf of others. I'm reminded of what I call the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Not the model prayer, but the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that he prayed. And I want you to look there with me, if you will, in John, chapter number 17. And we won't read this whole chapter, but it begins by saying, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee." And he begins in this prayer. And then I want you to notice in verse number 9, he says, "I pray for them." I love this. The intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He intercedes on our behalf in this prayer. He says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified." Look, listen to this. He says, "I am glorified in them." Wow. This is what the Lord Jesus thinks of us. We're his, and we're God's. And he's to be glorified in us. And he goes on and says, "And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Y'all don't see what that says. My joy fulfilled in themselves. "I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is the intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I preached on this just a few months ago, how that what the Bible says in verse number 11, they are in the world, in verse number 14, but they are not of the world. And we've talked about that, and we've looked at this whole chapter over a period of several different messages. But tonight I want you to see that Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions ought to be made for all men. And then he goes on and says, giving of thanks. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's a giving of thanks, of course, is just an expression of gratitude. You ever notice that so many times in our prayer life, all we're doing is asking for, asking, asking, asking? And I know, you know, John R. Rice, one of the greatest books on prayer I've ever read is prayer is asking and receiving. And I believe that. But the Bible also teaches us that prayer is giving of thanks. Enter to His presence with thanksgiving. Rejoice evermore, the Bible says. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so many of our prayer lives consist of asking for things, but never thanking Him for what He does give us. As a matter of fact, I believe if we took inventory of His blessings in our life, that we would have a time of prayer that would far exceed any other time of prayer that we've had. If we just started saying, Lord, I'm going to thank You for what You've done for me. And we took the time and started thanking Him. Maybe I'll start making a list of things to thank God for. Write it down. See what God's done. We fail in thanking Him for all that He has done, but we're asking for more. And so many times we ask Him for things, He answers those prayers. We forget to thank Him, but we're back asking Him for something else, for something else. Let's learn to be people that understands the privilege of prayer. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men. So not only we see the privilege of prayer, I want you to see the people of prayer. It's to be made for all men. Verse 1 says, verse 2 says, for kings, for all that are in authority. So we understand that Paul instructs Timothy who the church ought to be praying for. First of all, he says all men. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? We ought to be praying for everybody. We ought to learn that God has given us the privilege of prayer, and the people of prayer is that we would pray for all men. There is no one that does not need our prayer. No one. Says for kings. That's talking about those that have great authority. For leaders of nations, leaders of states, leaders of our country, for our president. Pray for those that are in authority. You say, well, what if I don't like who's in authority? Can I tell you something? Guess who was ruling when Paul was writing? A man by the name of Nero. Wicked, ungodly, vile, wretched. Paul says to Timothy, pray for him. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then it says, for all that are in authority. We all have people of authority in our lives. We have bosses, we have parents, teachers, people that are over us, you know, police have authority. Speaking of police, we had a bunch of them around here today. Oh, yeah. I hid Jody. I knew they was coming after her, but they never did find her. Somebody broke into a house. I mean, they had dogs. They were back in the field, back behind the fellowship, Paul. There was 15, 20 police cars around here, and they said they were all around the block. There was a police chopper flying overhead, and man alive, I mean, it was crazy. You know, we're a bunch of Tennesseans. We was out there. I mean, our kids had the video camera out. We was, the people that lived here, they just drove by like it was nothing. I told the kids, I said, man, if that would have happened up in Bloomingdale, where I'm from in Kingsport, Tennessee, I said, you had heard about it for a year. We still talk about things that happened years ago. You remember when, you know? I went over and I spoke to him and I addressed him, you know. I said, excuse me, sir, officer, you know. And I thought as I walked away, I ought to be praying for that man. He has a dangerous job. Pray for those that are in authority. Pray for those people that are over you. Pray for your bosses and your employers. Pray for these people. So many times people are busy putting people down, putting men and kings and those that are in authority down. They're so busy putting them down. But God says as Christians we're to lift them up in prayer. You want to make a difference in their lives? Pray for them. And I found out something. You can't hate somebody that you're praying for. Can't hate them. You may not like their ways, or there may be things that you don't agree with, but you can't hate them. That's the people of prayer. And then I want you to see the purpose of prayer. The Bible goes on and says in verse number 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So the purpose of prayer, first of all, is for peace for the saved. When we exercise the privilege of prayer and pray for others the way that we should, then the Bible says we'll live a quiet and peaceable life. That word quiet means tranquility that comes from without. Peaceable means that tranquility that comes from within. And the Bible says we're to do this in all godliness. That means we're to be devout. We're to be pleasing to God. We have peace within when our prayer life is right. And when that's the case, we can pray for the Neros of the world. When we have the peace with God that we're supposed to have, the peace of God that we're supposed to have, then when we pray, we can pray for those that we don't always agree with, those that we think are doing the wrong things, and pray that God will intervene and God will do something to change things. The Bible says not only in all godliness, it says in honesty. It means not masquerading, not pretending to be something that we're not. We don't stoop to the image of the world, but we're like Christ in that we live above the standards, not arrogantly, but in humility and honesty. When prayers are answered, we make sure that God gets the glory. We honor the Lord. So it's for the peace of the saved, and then it's also for the pleasing of the Savior. The Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And that should be the aim of every believer, shouldn't it? It is to be pleasing to the Savior. When our prayer life is right, that pleases the Lord. Then I want you to see the power of prayer. Paul writes in verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." When we're praying the way we ought to be praying, and we're using the privilege of prayer, and we're seeing the people of this prayer, and we're understanding the purpose of this prayer, then as we pray, we know that the Lord desires for all people to be saved. Did you know there's not one person that God does not want to be saved? Not one. There's not one person that Jesus didn't die for when He died on the cross. Not one. And the Bible teaches us that He would have all men to be saved. And when we pray in sincerity, we'll have a desire to give the truth of the gospel to other people. The Bible says that they would have the knowledge of the truth. Now we can give the truth. When we're praying and we have our prayer life right, we will understand this and we'll see that God wants people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we're going to be busy. We're going to be truth givers. And a lot of people's going to turn deaf ears to that, and they're not going to listen. God doesn't force Himself on anybody. God doesn't coerce, and we don't coerce people. We're not like a lot of religions. We're Christians. We don't coerce people into being saved. We don't coerce people into these things. We reveal truth and give them opportunity to respond to that truth. And many times they won't listen. But I want you to know that many have heard and many have received, and I believe it's no doubt a result of people praying. As a matter of fact, most of us are here tonight because somebody prayed for us. Somebody loved us enough. And somebody said, God, would you save Joe? Would you help him to see his need of Jesus Christ? Lord, would you convict him of his sin? And would you help him to see that you died for him? I know people prayed for me. And I don't know where I would be tonight had they not prayed for me. How many people in the world are depending on our prayers for them? And are we coming through? We're exhorted to prayer, the Bible says. And so we have the ability to talk to God because of this man, Christ Jesus. The Bible says there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We have this ability to talk to God because of the man, Christ Jesus. See, he knows all about God because he's God. But guess what? He knows all about man because he became man. It's an amazing thing when you really think about it. He brought God to man and he's bringing man to God. That's pretty neat, isn't it? That's what he did. The Bible says he gave himself, verse number 6, a ransom for all. There is no one that Christ did not die for. And then it says to be testified in due time. Did you know that the message of Calvary is always relevant? There's never a bad time to talk about Calvary. There's never a bad time to tell somebody about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never too old. It's never too new. There's never a time that the message of Calvary is not needed. And the power of prayer is that it'll change people's lives and it'll take an old man and make him a new man. It'll take a worthless, wretched, vile, wicked sinner and save him. Make him a new creature in Christ. And then finally, I want you to see the proof of prayer. As Paul's writing and he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he gives this list for men, kings, those who are in authority. And he talks about the privilege of prayer. He talks about the people of prayer. He talks about all these precious things about prayer. But then the proof, I want you to see what the Bible says in verse number 7. Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I want you to turn back with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. And I want you to look with me, verse number 54. We could talk about this whole thing dealing with Stephen and this sermon that he preaches. And we're not going to talk about all that, but I want you to come down to this last paragraph, if you will, of this chapter. When it says in verse number 54, after he's preaching these things, the Bible says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran up on him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Stephen's calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. The proof of prayer. Stephen prayed for Paul. He was Saul at the time, but he prayed for him. That never got away from Paul's heart and Paul's mind. He never got over the prayer that Stephen prayed. as he was holding the coats of those that were casting the stones. And he said, Lord, lay not this to their charge. And the proof of prayer, Paul says, I'm not lying about this. I am a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Because somebody prayed for me. Prayer can change the world. Prayer can change one man's life. In other words, when it comes to prayer, there's nothing too big and there's nothing too small. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. The Bible says men ought always to pray. And many times prayer should be thanking Him. But Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all. In other words, this is so important in your Christian life, it ought to take first place. With all that's going on in our world, all that's going on in our society, all that's going on in our country, everything that we see happening. Brother Zorn was telling me about a commercial, and it's a commercial that is exhorting us to be tolerant of all religions and just to have great diversity. I've not seen this commercial. But we're living in a day when they're trying to put all religions in one basket and declaring that they're all the same. The Word of God says there's only one way to heaven. That's not through being a Baptist. It's through knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, Christians preach and teach the truth. As far as I'm concerned, they're head and shoulders above anything else. There's no comparison. I believe a Buddhist has a right to be a Buddhist. I believe a Muslim has a right to be a Muslim. I wanted to say something that might shock you. I believe a homosexual has a right to choose to be a homosexual. They're not born that way, but they can choose that. Now, a Buddhist is going to die and go to hell. A Muslim will die and go to hell. A homosexual will die and go to hell unless they come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is, Jesus died for the Buddhist. Jesus died for the Muslim. Jesus died for all those that are religious. And Jesus died for those that have no religion. Jesus died for the homosexuals. Jesus died for white people, for black people, for yellow people, for red people. Jesus died for everybody. So what's going to make the difference? I exhort, therefore, first of all, that prayer, or supplications, prayer, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, all kings, all that are in authority. Those that Jesus died for. And He died for all. He gave Himself, the Bible says, a ransom for all. He'll have all men. His desire is for all men to be saved. What's going to make the difference? God's people praying can make the difference. Do I like all that's going on in the world? Who does? Nobody does. The liberals hate the conservative things. Conservatives hate the liberal things. The religious people hate the atheistic things. The atheistic people hate the religious things. Christians hate these things, and these other different religions hate these. You know, nobody likes everything that's going on, right? Well, we need to have this proof of prayer become evident. See, that's the difference. Buddhists will pray to a dead god. Muslims pray to a dead god. Confucianism prays to a dead god. But we pray to one that's alive. And He's on the throne. And He hears and He answers our prayer. We need to get back to being a praying people. Paul says to Timothy in Ephesus, if this church is going to make a difference in this place. With all the wickedness, the idolatry, the pornographic images that are around, here's what's going to make the difference. Prayer. And I exhort you, first of all, pray. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Lord, I thank you for your precious word, and I pray that it's pierced into our heart and our soul tonight, and help us to see what we have in prayer. Lord, may it be a part of our lives. Lord, if there's one that's here tonight that's never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that your word, though I've preached on prayer, Lord, has dealt with them about their need of having a personal relationship with you. Help them to come tonight and trust thee. For those of us that are saved, help us to have an understanding of praying. Lord, may this night make a difference in the rest of our lives. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet.